A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever thought of the church as a hard hat zone? With the lift we have outside for the past few weeks, perhaps you have. You probably wouldn't think a hard hat was called for when laying a foundation or a cornerstone. When we get to Jesus' words at the close of today's gospel reading, however, it sounds as if a hard hat might come in handy. You may not need one when you trip over the stone the builders rejected, but should that cornerstone, or as it can also be translated, the head of the corner, fall on you, some sort of head protection would seem imperative. But perhaps I should back up for a minute. The scene hasn't changed from last Sunday's gospel reading. It's Monday of Holy Week. Jesus is in the temple in Jerusalem, parrying the verbal assaults of the chief priests and elders of the people. They had asked Jesus a question about authority in an attempt to find an excuse to put him to death. Even so, Jesus exerted every effort to keep them from dying, earnestly calling to them to repentance and faith. He challenged them pointedly with a parable of two sons whose father asked them to go to work in his vineyard, but they weren't moved. Right after that, he told them another parable, even more urgently calling them to repent before it's too late. In this parable, he updates the song of the vineyard we heard from Isaiah 5, personalizing it for the leaders of Israel in his day. They are vineyard tenants who refuse to provide a share of the harvest to the absent owner. Rather than responding to his repeated calls for the fruits of humble repentance and faith, they kill the prophets, and they stone those who are sent to them. And their doing so isn't an aberration, a one-time thing. They do it again and again. Then when the owner sends his own son, they are determined to throw Jesus out of the city and kill him as well. It's an astonishing story Jesus tells. Who would be so foolish as to do such a thing, we might wonder. But there isn't any mystery here, because Jesus applies this parable to the chief priests and leaders of the people. If they persist in their rebellion and refuse to repent, he says, they will die. Far from inheriting the vineyard, they will lose both their place and their nation. They will experience a miserable death, and the Lord will let out his vineyard to other tenants, will extend his kingdom to the likes of you and me. You see, the Christian church down through the ages, including us gathered together today, is a fulfillment of this parable. We are the other tenants the Lord has graciously invited to enjoy the splendid vineyard he has prepared. He wants us to live in it and work in it and to respond to his goodness with the fruits of repentance and trust. All he asks is that we depend on him, hunger and thirst for his perfect righteousness, which he is so eager to provide over and over again as a gift. Of course, a better question then, who would be so foolish as to refuse to give the master his share of the produce and instead kill his servants and son, is the question, why? Why would anyone do such a thing? The who? Could be anyone to whom the Lord has entrusted a place in his vineyard. But the why gets into the perversity of our sinful nature. It comes from not trusting God's gracious goodness and believing instead that you know better than him what is good for you. It's believing that it's possible that he who did not spare his own son but graciously gave him up for you would be unwilling to give you anything else. It doesn't make any sense that God, who gave his greatest treasure to redeem you, would suddenly stop giving, stop loving, stop wanting your eternal welfare. The mere fact that Jesus spent the last days of his earthly ministry urgently calling his enemies to repent and believe the gospel shows how ludicrous such a thought is. And yet it's one to which you and I fall prey and believe again and again, each time we follow our own desires rather than submitting to God's will. Run through the commandments, and it's all too clear. Respect authority, love your enemy, keep your mind pure and chaste, honor your neighbor's property rights, don't harm your neighbor by what you say, be content with such things as you have, treasure his word, honor his name, fear, love, and trust God alone. You and I have failed in the same ways the chief priests and elders of the people Jesus implicated in his parable did. Our only hope is to pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what's involved in falling on the stone the builders rejected, being broken, dying to self. Jesus said the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Martin Luther said of these words, "This is an unexpected and astonishing sermon," and asked, "If Christ breaks and crushes everything, where then will that leave the Christian church?" Only two outcomes are possible: either broken to pieces or crushed into dust. What does this mean? The appointed reading from Philippians provides an example of someone falling on Christ and being broken to pieces. St. Paul describes there the religious credentials he once valued above all things, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. You can't get any more religious than St. Paul had been. In his respect for God's word, in his commitment to obedience, in his zeal to serve God, he puts all of us to shame. But one day, outside the city of Damascus, he stumbled over Christ and lost his religion. The Lord said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And when he identified himself as Jesus, everything Paul valued, every merit he had claimed, collapsed in a heap. He realized that it was all worthless, that his best and most pious deeds were nothing but rubbish. And the word St. Paul used here that's translated rubbish includes raw sewage. He stopped talking about the lowest of the low. When Paul stumbled over Christ, the cornerstone, he was broken to pieces. From that time on, whatever gain he had, he counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, he writes, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Today's gospel provides an example of those on whom the stone falls. The chief priests and elders of the people did not respond to Jesus in repentance and in faith. Instead, though they perceived that he was speaking about them in his parables, they were more determined than ever to arrest him and kill him. And so Jesus would fall on them and crush them. For broken stones, there is a place in God's kingdom, the living temple. But not for crushed stones. Pulverized, they have no place in it. Worthless, they will be cast out. Luther writes, "The world is divided into two parts, both of which must be broken to pieces. The first part fall upon the stone, then others have the stone fall upon them. The first who humble themselves and accept the stone, forsake their deeds, they are the Christian church. They abandon their previous life, whether it was sinful or had an appearance of holiness. With Paul, they despair of their works, and they are in a good position. The others are proud and stubborn and want to pulverize the stone, Christ, that he should be nothing. They can try to guard themselves with their holiness, but he will totally crush and grind them to powder so that they are utterly rejected. Nothing of them will remain in remembrance. There are two kinds of people. Some fall upon the stone and break to pieces. Others want to tear out the stone, and therefore it falls on them, so that they are crushed underneath it. To fall on top of the stone is good, but to end up underneath it is bad. Those who let themselves be broken to pieces, believe and are baptized, will be built upon the stone and forsake their presumptuousness. They listen to the apostles and prophets and are saved. The others are crushed. God grant that we fall upon Christ alone and break cleanly, shatter well, commend our souls to him, and that he carry the lost little lamb back into the flock. But certainly not that we be crushed by the stone or eternally be put to shame. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.